Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, that which we read earlier, chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 8. Isaiah 61 and verse 8, just the first part of that verse. For I, the Lord, love judgment. And our subject this morning is loving justice. Loving justice. Well, we come this morning to this verse towards the end of the book of the prophet Isaiah. This book, this prophet, we have considered many times in our morning service. Isaiah, just to remind you, lived 700 years, roughly speaking, before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah preached. He was a prophet. He preached to those in Judah, and he preached a message that in many ways was not a good message. It was a message of judgment, God's judgment upon the sins of the people, even those in Judah, even those who were the children of Israel. They had sinned against their own God, and God was sending a judgment. And the judgment was that, Judah would be conquered, would be invaded by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. His armies would overcome Judah. Jerusalem itself would fall in 586 BC. That was well after the time of Isaiah. Isaiah would not live to see that day. But that was his prophecy to Judah. That was his message. He was a prophet, and it most certainly came to pass. But he didn't just speak of judgment. He also prophesied concerning good news for Judah, for Israel, a gospel, if you will, for the people. Yes, they would be taken into captivity, but then they would be restored. They would be brought back to their land. They would be delivered, they would be brought home, and there would be a time of peace and restoration, reconciliation with their God. A day is coming, said the prophet Isaiah. You will be lost, but then you will be delivered. But really, when Isaiah speaks of deliverance in this chapter and elsewhere, he's not just speaking about the literal history of Judah and the Israelites returning to their homeland. When he speaks of deliverance and peace, he's really speaking about the gospel age. He's speaking about the gospel. He's speaking about Christ. And, we could spend a lot of time on this, but this chapter in particular is speaking about the gospel, about Christ. Verse 1 in this chapter, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and so on. This isn't just speaking about Isaiah. This is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, we haven't got time to go to it, but if you look at Luke chapter 4 in the New Testament, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he went to this exact passage, this chapter, chapter 61. He read out that verse that I've just read out to you, and he said to all those who were gathered there, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the fulfillment of this prophecy. It's not just speaking about Isaiah. It's not just speaking about Judah, literal history. This is speaking about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This day, with Christ, with his coming, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So we have to understand that about the book of the prophet Isaiah and the Old Testament. When it speaks of these things, it's not just speaking about Israel and things that happened a long time ago. It's speaking about Christ and about the gospel age. So this is a glorious chapter, but perhaps we've already spent a bit too much time just explaining the context. But I want to look at verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Now, immediately when we hear this, we get uncomfortable. We don't like to hear that word judgment in our society. But actually, in this context, and I've already mentioned it, this word judgment actually means justice. For I, the Lord, love justice. And it's translated justice in many other Bible versions. But this is what it is referring to. God loves justice. And indeed, justice and judgment go together. You cannot have justice without judgment. You cannot have justice without law. And we'll focus on that a little later. But well, justice, that isn't a word that is hated nowadays. Justice is a word that is actually much loved. It's very popular nowadays at the present time to speak about justice. It's very trendy. Social justice, very topical. We've had a very high-profile case in global news recently, the death of George Floyd, a man who was murdered by a police officer, caught on camera. And, well, what was the reaction of the whole world? Called out for justice. We must have justice for this. And then there were all these movements that were born after that particular incident or that gained greater strength. Social justice. Everybody wants social justice. This crime cannot go unpunished. We must have justice. So it's very popular, this word, justice. Many people are looking to eradicate all forms of injustice from society. All forms of racism must go. All forms of discrimination must go. Anything that even seems unfair must be driven out of society. That's the popular view. Everybody wants justice. Equal pay in jobs. It's spreading to other parts of society, the workplace. Equal pay, equal number of men and women in high places. Not just in the political sphere, in the workplace. There can be no injustice, even in our sports, in the football matches. I'm not speaking about BLM or taking the knee, although we could include that in the social justice category. But even in sport, there is such a desire nowadays that no injustice come into the sport. We have in the football, and I'm sure many of you have been watching this, we have VAR nowadays. And what is VAR all about? Well, VAR is to ensure that there is no injustice in the game. There's no wrong decision, that nothing unfair happens, that every single time you get the right decision, justice, even in the game, even in the sport, we cannot have the wrong decision. Can you see that this is just another symptom of social justice creeping into our society, even in our sport? There can be no unfairness, no injustice, no wrong decision. Everything must be right. Social justice. And well, we see it in society, even children. And my wife was mentioning this to the youngsters on Friday. Young children, they don't understand much sometimes about deep things, about spiritual things. But young children, they can understand when something is unjust, when something is not fair. They're constantly crying out, "This is not fair." They have a great sense, an innate sense, when injustice is being done. Even in young children, they have this understanding of what justice truly is. But where do we get this innate sense of justice? Where does the human race get this desire for justice? Well, our desire for justice, this natural desire, it's actually one of the great evidences that we are created beings. We are created beings. This desire for justice is one of the great evidences that we could not have evolved. If we had evolved, why would we seek after justice? Why would we have this innate natural desire for justice? Justice goes against the theory of evolution. Evolution is all about survival of the fittest. Those who are stronger trampling over those who are weaker. That's not justice. That's not really fair. The strongest people, they can just trample over those who don't have quite the same capabilities. That's the very opposite of justice that we understand now and that we support. So, dear friends, we haven't got this sense of justice because we've evolved. We've got this sense of justice because we have been created. We have been made in the image of God. That's why we long, we thirst after justice, because we're made in his image. God loves justice. This is what we read here. I, the Lord, love judgment. And we have been made in his image. So therefore, we love judgment. We have, even youngsters, a great desire for justice, to see that all things are fair. This is so important. Do we understand that? Made in the image of God, we reflect his attributes. God is a creator. Therefore, man is able to create. God is love. Therefore, man is able to love. God loves judgment. God loves justice. Therefore, we love justice. We are made in his image. We aren't evolved people, dear friends. God loves justice. And well, God indeed loves everything to be right and just. And he commands us in his word only to do those things that are right and just and fair. He delights in seeing justice carried out. And so we are made in his image. It's not by chance, it's by creation. But of course, we have to mention that, even though we were made in the image of God, that image has been broken. Adam, the first man, made in the image of God, but he broke that image of God in him. He fractured it. He corrupted it. He twisted it by his sin. And so all of his descendants, all of us, we bear a fractured image. We don't bear a true image of God, a perfect image of God. We have a corrupted image of God, a corrupted image of love, and a corrupted sense of justice. Our idea of justice no longer truly lines up with God's idea of justice. We know that justice is good, but our idea of justice and what we call fair does not agree with God's idea of justice and what he would call fair. Let me give you an example of that. The majority of people, well, they think that it's fair, it's just, to do whatever they want with their own lives. It's fair for me to do what I want with my own life. It's my life after all. I can do what I want. I can see who I want. I can say whatever I want. I can think whatever I want. That's fair. It's my body. Isn't this what we're hearing nowadays? I can do with my own body whatever I want. My body, my choice. That's fair. That's what people think nowadays. But according to God, that's not fair. That's not fair. Because God has given you your life. God has given you your body. God has given you all your talents. Everything that you ever have has been given to you by God. So it's not fair for you to say, I'm going to take my life, I'm going to take my body and do whatever I want with it. That's not fair. God has given you everything that you have. You actually owe him. You are indebted to him. You ought to be thanking him. You ought to be turning to him, not living for yourself, turning to him, praising him, worshiping him. That would be fair. Not saying I'm going to take my life and live it all for myself. How on earth is that fair? That's not just. That's not justice at all. So you see how man's idea of justice and fairness is no longer God's idea of justice and fairness. It's a corrupted image. We look to the Lord for what is truly right, what is truly just. But then you hear some people say something like this, but I don't like Christianity because, well, there are things in Christianity that are clearly not fair. And, well, you ask them what those things might be, and they will tell you, well, the Bible calls people sinners. That's not fair, is it? You Christians, you say that, well, lots of people are sinners, and that's so unjust. Well, dear friends, we have to disagree. The teaching of sin in the Bible is actually very fair. Very fair. First of all, the Bible says that we are all sinners. Not just some of you. Some people have this idea that we just call certain people sinners. Oh, you Christians, you just say that people of other faiths are sinners. No. We say that all people are sinners, not just people from other faiths. Some people will say to you, oh, you just say homosexuals are sinners. No. We say that all people are sinners. In fact, well, I ought to correct myself. It's God who says that all people are sinners in his word. Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's no discrimination with God's description of sin. No discrimination at all. Isn't that fair? There's no prejudice. You want equality? We want equality in the world. Well, here's equality. The Bible gives it to us. Every man, woman, and child, we are all sinners. That's equality. Isn't that fair? This is justice. This is God's presentation of justice. We're all equal in the sight of God. We are all sinners, even Christians. Before they come to know the Lord, we are born sinners. There's equality when we talk about sin in the Bible. But it's also fair in this sense. Sin is the breaking of the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. Well, we all ought to understand this. If somebody breaks the law, if somebody robs a bank or assaults somebody or commit murder, well, they have broken the law. They are criminals. And that is how they are to be described. And they must be punished. It's only just. It's only fair. Well, it's the same thing when we consider our sin. We have broken the law. We have broken God's law, the Ten Commandments. And so therefore, it is only fair, it's only just that we are called criminals in the sight of God, that we are called sinners because we have broken his law. Whenever we have lied, we have broken the law of God. Therefore, we are sinners. Whenever we have lusted in our hearts, over a woman, over a man, we have broken the law of God. Children, when you have dishonored your parents, when you have disobeyed them, when you have disrespected them, you have broken the law of God. Therefore, you are a criminal. You are a sinner. That's fair. That's perfectly fair, perfectly just. And we have all broken God's law. We are all sinners in the sight of God, the holy and perfect judge. And sin must be punished, dear friends. It must be punished again. Well, it sounds harsh, but this is all in the interests of justice. If you love justice, you ought to love this. If a criminal appears before a judge and he's done something terrible and he's confessed it. Well, the judge cannot just let him go. The judge cannot say to this person, you have committed this crime, but you know what? I'm just going to let you go free. No, there must be justice. That criminal has to be punished. It's only right and fair. And so it's the same with the Bible, with the scriptures. We have all sinned. We stand in the sight of God, the judge. We stand to be punished. It's only fair. It's only just. But you see, this is where the gospel comes in. The glory of the gospel. God has provided a savior. One who will take the punishment for us. In our place, a substitute, a scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. He takes the punishment in our place. That's what we preach every single week. Now, some people, they hear this and then they come to the conclusion that the gospel isn't fair. The gospel isn't fair. They say to themselves, somebody else takes the punishment for my sin? That's not fair. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he takes the punishment for things I've done. How can that be fair? And well, perhaps we can understand this. If I did something terrible, some great crime, and you had to pay the punishment for it, I'm sure you would think that's not fair. So how do we reconcile this? Well, dear friends, you see, it is fair. The gospel is fair. Why? Because Christ willingly gives his life for you. He wants to give his life for you. That is his great desire. That's why he came down from heaven to earth to give his life for his people, because of his love for us. He wants to. Therefore, it is fair. In eternity past, he made a covenant with God the Father. I will go down from heaven to earth. Yes, they are sinners, but I will take the punishment for their sin. Willingly, gladly, nobody's forcing me. I, out of love, will suffer and die for them. This is his desire. This is his will. Dear friends, this is the glorious love of Christ. Maybe if I illustrate it this way, you will understand it better. You know, sometimes you meet parents whose children behave very bad toward them. I'm not speaking of when the children are infants, but when they grow up, they do terrible things. They treat their parents badly. They disrespect them. They disown them. They disobey them. But you know, that parent will say to you, I still love my child. I still love my son, my daughter, even though they have gone far astray, even though they have disrespected me, disowned me, I still love my son. You think to yourself, how? It's almost not fair. That child doesn't deserve love. That child doesn't deserve to be acknowledged, and yet the parent still loves them. Well, this is the way it is with Christ. We don't deserve to be saved. We are sinners. And yet Christ, because of his love, he still loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. Isn't that a glorious Savior? He went to the cross. He took the full punishment for our sins, fulfilled the just requirement of God. Justice was done, was executed upon him, not us, because he loved us and because he gave himself for us. This is the glorious gospel. Our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, the way to heaven. Do you know that way, dear friends? All of you who are here, all of you who are listening, do you know that way? You know, it couldn't be more fairly given to us. One thing we could spend a lot of time talking about is how the gospel is freely given to us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but all you need to do to claim the salvation of God, you just turn to him, you repent. You turn from your own way, you turn to God, and you ask the Lord for faith, and he freely gives it. God is not asking you to do something hard. some great work, some great pilgrimage. He gives it to you freely. You can't say fairer than that. This is God's way, free salvation by grace because of the love of Christ. So this is what this verse is all about. For I, the Lord, love judgment. He loves justice. And just one more thing before we close this morning. Let us just think about, well, the day of judgment, that coming day of judgment. Many people fear it. Many people don't want to speak about it or even think about it. But you know, the day of judgment is actually a day of justice. If you love justice, again, I have to say this, if you're a social justice warrior, you love justice, you ought to love the day of judgment. Because what's going to happen on the day of judgment? God is going to correct all the injustices of the world. Every wicked deed, every cruel word, every ugly thought will be judged and will be punished on that day. It will be a day of justice. Finally, there isn't justice in this world, but on that day, there will be justice. Nobody will get away with anything. If you love justice, you ought to love the day of judgment. But some people will say, doesn't the Bible teach that some people will go to hell forever on the day of judgment? Doesn't the Bible teach that? Some people will go to hell. How is that fair? People will say to you. Well, dear friends, I have to say again, it is fair. It is fair. Because all those who end up in hell, they don't want God. They don't want to be with God. In their lives, they have had nothing to do with God. They have hated God. They have despised Him. They have turned away from Him. And all they want is to live forever without God. That's their desire. So it is fair that they end up in hell, because that's what they want. They don't want God at all. They may well have heard the gospel many, many times, but many, many times they rejected it. They rejected the love of Christ. I want nothing to do with it. So it's fair. It's perfectly fair that they end up in hell. You can't say anything against it. They don't want the Lord at all. So you see, even hell, all the things of God are right and good and just. There is nothing we can say against Him. But for all those who believe, well, we go to live in a place of perfect righteousness. God's justice will reign over all things. Everything will be fair. Everything will be right. Everything will be good. And we will be there forever, because we have trusted in Christ, who has loved our souls so well. Dear friends, I exhort you, it's not fair to reject Christ and His gospel. If Christ has died and shed His blood, it's only fair that you come to Him and you worship Him and you praise Him and you know His love and His justice forevermore. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Well, let us turn in our hymn books as we close to hymn number 304. Hymn number 304, a hymn of John Newton speaking of that coming day of judgment. Hymn number 304. Day of judgment, day of wonders, hear the trumpet's awful sound. Louder than 10,000 thunders shakes the vast creation round. How the summons will the sinner's heart confound. See the judge, our nature wearing, clothed in majesty divine. All who long for his appearing then shall say, this God is mine. Gracious Saviour, own me in that day as thine. At his call the dead awaken, rise to life from earth and sea. All the powers of nature shaken, at his look prepare to flee. Careless sinner, what will then become of thee? But to all who have confessed, loved and served the Lord below, he will say, come near, ye blessed, see the kingdom I bestow. You forever shall my love and glory know. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, dear Lord, take the words that have been preached in this place and apply them to the hearts of all those who are here. Lord, a preacher can do nothing. He is a mere instrument. Lord, work in each and every one by that gracious, redeeming power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, bring them to Christ. Help them to see the eternal danger that they are in, and help them to confess all their sins, to turn away from their rejection of thee, to repent and to have faith, and to know the salvation of the Lord. We ask all these things in our dear Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.